Welcome to the Mindful Medicina Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanette Daniels. I'm a naturopathic medical doctor on a mission to inspire a renewed confidence in the intelligence of the human body. And joining the conversation today is my friend and colleague, Janelle Hartman, lymphatic and colon hydrotherapist, esteemed yoga teacher of teachers, and the co-producer of this show. We have been under a mass hypnosis for about a century since Rockefeller came on the scene, creating big pharma and organizations such as the American Medical Association, which was an orchestrated effort to disempower individuals and the collective from being the master self-healers that we are. When it comes to our healthcare and healing journeys, we have been programmed to defer to so-called authority figures, namely doctors, big pharma, and even politicians, making us dependent on this quote-unquote system for wellness. The irony is that this very system is responsible for the top three causes of death in the world. We want to encourage a way forward by going back to being self-governed and to being the CEO of our bodies. In today's episode, we are continuing the discussion about ozone therapy, but this time we will be moving out of the clinical setting and into your homes. Our guest today is Tobias Siegel, who is the CEO and co-founder of Promo Life and Pure O3, which is the leading USA manufacturer for ozone-infused oils. He joins us to go over the many amazing at-home ozone treatments that his company has created so that people may have user-friendly ozone-making equipment, and also offers ready-made ozone products to manage a plethora of health conditions. Tobias is especially eager to share with us how to use his products for oral health, as poor oral hygiene is correlated with several serious disease states. In this conversation, we talk about the various ways to make and use ozone therapy at home, such as ozonating your drinking water, insufflations, ozonated oils, dental trays, and water picks. No matter the condition, ozone and oxygen are a reliable and safe way to manage microbes of all kinds. We hope you'll enjoy this conversation as much as we did today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We're really excited to go into ozone with you today as it relates to oral health. We've done an episode in the past going over dental wellness with Dr. Bramley Beer. And most recently, we've discussed ozone therapy more clinically with Jason DeLeon from MedMasters. So today, we really wanted to bring the medicine of ozone therapy home. We wanted to bring you on today to talk about the healing power of ozone and how we can use it at home. And today we want to talk about your amazing ozone oil therapy specifically. So we're looking forward to diving deep here.
Well, I really appreciate it. And what I like to start out typically when I talk about ozonated oils is, you know, we want to dive into like a little bit of the history just to make people aware that this is something that's been around for a while. It's not something that's brand new. There's a really good track record with ozone and ozone oil products. For people who are unaware, you know, ozone oils was originally created by Nikola Tesla, and he started making these back in like the early 1900s, and they even sold them in pharmacies, and it was listed as glycozone. So it was a product that was available in stores, you know, in the early 1900s. It gained a reputation as a miracle cure. Leading American doctors wrote books on ozone treatments, and basically it was shown to have to provide effectiveness for over 115 different diseases. Ozone oils are still currently being used all over the world to treat various conditions. So for people who have never heard of it, this is something that has been around for a while, and It has a really good track record and it works incredibly well.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, and the big question that people always ask is like, well, what is an ozonator oil? Like, what is that, and how does that work? And so, basically, what we're doing is we're taking a certified organic plant oil, and we're infusing it with pure ozone gas. It's not actual like there's different types of ozone gases out there. So we're taking a pure oxygen fed system and infusing it into the oil. So we're infusing it with pure ozone. What's happening is we're creating a higher ozonide and peroxide value in that oil. And so it's interesting when you finish ozonating these oils and you lift off and you take the lid off, it actually smells like ozone. There's a very, you know, good ozone smell. I'm not sure if anybody listening has had the opportunity to smell ozone, but it has a very distinct odor or a very distinct smell. So when we infuse ozone into a plant oil, what's happening is it takes on a lot of the similar properties of ozone gas itself. So ozone gas is incredibly, healing. It's anti-inflammatory, it's antimicrobial, it's safe to use internally and externally. And, you can essentially apply it anywhere on the body. It's widely used for like bug bites, cuts, fungal issues. This is topical use. Burns, people use it for poison ivy. You can use it for like fungal issues. And then internally, we have a lot of people who take capsules of ozone oils for upper GI issues. I think it's great for SIBO. And then in addition, you can use it as a suppository. And suppositories work great for IBS issues or, Crohn's disease, specific conditions like that. And just so people are aware, there are close to 1,000 PubMed articles discussing the benefits of ozone oil.
Amazing.
So pretty cool stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And could you go into the routes of administration, all the options that one would have at home using ozone therapy? For example, like the water, drinking the ozonated water. Could you give us all of those options?
Absolutely. So, the other company that I work for is called PromoLife, and we specialize more in home ozone therapy treatments. So just to give people a rundown on what you can do at home, you can make ozonated water, and that can be used to drink. You can also use it as a mouthwash. You can use it to clean out wounds. I love ozone water to be used for oral health because it does such a great job sterilizing and regenerating the tissue in the mouth or regenerating the gums. You'll find that it's probably the best mouthwash you ever use. The more common forms of administration with ozone therapy at home are going to be rectal insufflation, where we're essentially just doing a gas enema. So instead of doing a liquid enema, we're just doing a gas enema instead. And that ozone gas actually absorbs very rapidly in the colon. There's a lot of studies out there that show even if you add oxygen to the colon, you can that delivery happens pretty rapidly. So ozone gets absorbed incredibly well through the colon and is then distributed all throughout the body. The other form of administration, obviously for women, would be vaginal insufflations. That's where we add ozone gas vaginally, and it also gets absorbed pretty rapidly throughout the system. That's great for yeast infections, endometriosis issues. You'll find that it can help really regulate if somebody has like a bad periods. It'll help really regulate it a lot more. I've seen it firsthand provide phenomenal results for individuals. You can also add ozone to the ears. So we call that ear insufflation. And so we're adding ozone to the ears. And what that's doing is, first of all, it's helping with sinus health. It's helping with cognitive issues. It's helping with eye health. It's just a way to essentially get a little bit of ozone to absorb around the head. Most people who do an ear insufflation will say it's almost like drinking like a cup of coffee without the caffeine. It really wakes you up. It clears your head. A lot of people suffer from brain fog, and it's a great way to reduce the brain fog that people might be having. One of my other favorite forms of administration at home is called sinus insufflations. It's where we take a small amount of ozone gas that we have in a syringe, and there's no needle attached. And so we're not like sticking our skin anywhere. So what we do is we hold our breath, basically like we're going swimming underwater, and we shoot ozone gas up our nose. Why we are holding our breath, so we're not going to be breathing any ozone. And we let that ozone permeate the sinus passages. And what it's doing is, if you have any like, you know, viral issues or anything like that, it's reducing it. It's lowering your viral load. So your chances of potentially catching a pathogen is very, very, it's reduced quite dramatically. And so I see a lot of people doing that, you know, nowadays because of, you know, the times that we live in. But that's one of my favorite treatments because it's so easy to do at home. And there's a host of other treatments such as like topically applying ozone gas to the skin. And then obviously the previous, you know, conversation you guys had with Jason, he went into the whole clinical side of ozone therapy where they actually remove the blood and ozonate it and put it back in the body. So from a home standpoint, you know, there's a lot that you can do with ozone at home. And it's pretty remarkable how effective it can be. And it puts the power in your own hand, which I love. Mm-hmm. So you have the ability as a patient to treat your body when needed. So like if you want to treat yourself in the morning before work, you can. If you want to do it again when you get home, you can. A lot of people treat themselves based upon, you know, how they feel. So, you know, if they feel like they feel run down or coming on with something, they're going to treat themselves. And so it just puts a lot of power in your hand when it comes to, you know, maintaining your health at home.
Mm-hmm. And as a physician, I can appreciate the cost of things because a typical full EBU session is going to run around $1,000. And that's, you know, I mean, it's a heavy hitting, amazing ozone therapy treatment. However, you know, cost matters, time to and from physician and finding someone to do these next level IV ozone treatments can be hard to find, especially on what state you live in. And so it's just, you know, plus then the pokes and, you know, all of that and, scarring up some of the tissue in the veins. There's a lot of benefit to having it at home and especially just that sovereign medicine and being able to give it to you, you know, treat yourself time and place when you feel intuitively, and physically when you need it. So that's what I love about your products is that you're actually allowing people to doctor themselves at home.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw it really take off over the past few years regarding how people treat themselves at home. And it's remarkable because I find so many different uses on my end for home. Like I just recently had a sty on my eye, and not the most, not obviously, you know, deadly or anything like that, but it's just very, very annoying. And typically when I get a sty, it's going to last for 2 to 3 weeks. And I mean, a sty is essentially just like a little small infection on your eyelid. But what I did was I took ozonated saline and I flushed that my eye for about 5 to 6 times that day. And I woke up the next morning and it was completely gone. And so I was just like, wow, that was amazing. I wish I would have done that with previous ones that I've had, but you can find so many cool uses. You can essentially put ozone on anything. I mean, and I want to be clear with people, you know, ozone is incredibly safe. Like your body naturally produces a small amount of ozone through the white blood cells. And it's how our body actually fights off pathogens, you know, and so our body knows what to do with it. It's not something that's foreign. It's not something that we're adding that our body has to like figure out what to do with. It knows exactly what ozone is and it knows exactly what to do with it. So ozone is a very powerful tool that we can use pretty much for, you know, any condition, whether you have like a, you know, gum disease, if you have, you know, an infection, if you have, you know, something going on internally. I mean, I've seen so many women use it for vaginal health, like people who have endometriosis issues, you know, they can use it and it's just surprising how fast it works. I think that's the big takeaway for me is a lot of treatments that people do at home, they have to consistently do it for a while. Ozone's one of those treatments that you can do at home and you're going to notice results typically within the first 1 to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of working fast, I know that in real time, when you're doing the IV EBO, EBU treatment, you can see the blood becoming lighter because of all of the oxygen richness that you get from that. Yeah. So my question to you was, as far as the at-home products, would you say that rectal insufflation would be the closest thing to getting that uptake and efficacy and potency as an IV?
So I want to explain it, you know, in a little different way. And because I think there can be some misconception about the benefits of IV versus rectal insufflation. So let's just be clear, IV ozone is going to be better than rectal insufflation. Like, that's just hands down, it will work a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. But there is a huge upside to rectal insufflation that in my opinion can surpass when it comes to IV ozone. So the advantage with rectal insufflation, this is something that you can do at home daily if needed. So you may not have the same elevated levels of ozone in the body when compared to IV ozone, but you're able to do this, you know, two times a day sometimes, you know, once a day, you know, for a continuous period of time. And so you're maintaining those levels of ozone in the body for a longer period of time when you compare it to IV ozone. So you also have to look at the additional, like the less amount of stress involved in doing rectal insufflation versus IV treatments. Let's just say if you have to do an EBU treatment or a MAH ozone treatment, which is called major autohemotherapy, you have to find a clinic. You have to pay, like you said, $1,000 typically. You may have to drive 3 to 4 hours to this location. You're taking a whole day out of work. You're turning this into a day event where you have to travel. The beauty with rectal insufflation is you can do it at home. It takes 5 to 10 minutes to do it. And then you're off, you know, with your day. And so there are advantages and disadvantages of each. What I love about the ozone at home is you can literally do it so much more. You can create that treatment plan on your own, where you're going to do it daily, where you're going to do it three times a week, and you can meet the needs that your body is dictating. So that's what I love about it.
I had a follow-up question to that. I got our clinic to start carrying the ozonated olive oil suppositories, because we have that option to have some rectal insufflation, and that was a bit cost prohibitive and also inconvenient in the ways that you've just described to some folks to have on a regular basis as much as they need it. And so I thought, okay, well, here's maybe it's a step down in efficacy, but at least the consistency can be there. Can you talk about the difference between an ozonated oil and then the gas itself and how that interfaces Yes. with the body?
Absolutely. So, you know, I get this question a lot, and to answer it, the rectal insufflation is going to be more potent and more effective than a ozone oil suppository. But from a standpoint of getting a user to understand the benefits of ozone, ozone suppositories are great. We see a lot of people who are doing ozone therapy at home on a regular basis. And let's just say they have to travel. Well, it's really difficult to take equipment with you when you travel. So what they'll do is they'll take ozone suppositories with them, and it works as a great alternative for the time being. I would probably estimate, you know, when you compare a rectal insufflation to taking a suppository, we're probably roughly around like 30 to 50% as far as the efficacy. So it's not going to be as good, but it's still going to have a lot of benefits. And also it's super, super easy to do. You literally just pop it out and put it in. And, you know, I usually, if I'm going to do it, I do suppositories at night. And it's, you know, it's so simple. And I really like to hammer home, you know, rectal insufflation and sometimes this home ozone therapy is definitely work. So you have to commit yourself to want to do it. Ozone suppositories, on the other hand, are substantially easier. And, you know, you're talking about opening something up and popping it in a matter of 30 seconds and you're done. So, you know, if you're a very, very busy individual, you know, maybe start with ozone suppositories and see how that works. And I know that once you start noticing the benefit, you might consider, you know, adding full-blown ozone therapy at home with the machine and the actual gas.
And you have a variety of oils. When I started using these a little over a year ago, it was the hemp oil, because I wanted to also stimulate the cannabinoid system. And I really thought that was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then at the doctors at the clinic I work at said that the olive oil is a little bit better for people who are more sensitive. And I wondered if you could talk about the difference between the oils and like why you choose these different oils for the ozone.
Absolutely. That's a really good question that gets brought up a lot. So we have a range of ozonated oils that we offer. And to go over those, it's going to be ozonated coconut oil, ozonated jojoba, ozonated olive, ozonated sunflower, and ozonated hemp oil. So the reason why we offer a group of oils that are ozonated is because some are weaker and some are stronger than others. So a good example is ozonated coconut oil is on the weak side, and ozonated jojoba oil is just a little bit stronger. And then ozonated olive oil is kind of like that sweet in the middle. So it's not going to be as strong as sunflower, but it's going to be stronger than coconut. So the way we figure this out is it has to do with the 3-6-9 omega fatty acid ratio of the oil. And so that allows us to calculate the potential ozonide index of each oil. And there's a few other measurements that we use regarding, like, you know, we can look at weight of the oil. We can also look at a few other things, but this is a pretty good way to determine which oil is going to be the strongest. But what we find, which I find really interesting when we develop these ozonated oils, is the absorbability of some of them. So like a good example is ozonated coconut oil is one of the weaker oils, but it absorbs really, really well, like through the skin. So it penetrates deeper. Same with ozonated jojoba. It really absorbs very quickly through the skin. Our really strong oil, which is ozonated hemp oil, it doesn't absorb as well. So we find that the stronger the oil is, the less likely it is to absorb as rapidly. Now, that's not a bad thing either. So when you apply ozonated hemp oil to the skin, it actually almost creates like a layer, and it almost acts like a water resistant layer for like a wound or let's just say if you have like a severe burn, you could apply ozonated hemp oil to that. And it almost protects the skin and prevents like pathogens or even other stuff from entering that wound. And so if you try to apply ozonated coconut, it wouldn't do that because it's just going to absorb through the skin. So each oil has its own benefits. Typically, if we look at weaker ozonated oils, those are great for like skin or beauty applications. The stronger ones, such as hemp or sunflower, are great for wound care or fungal issues on the body. Mm. So that's a good way to explain it, I think. Mm.
So we're talking about the ozonide index, right? So for example, just to give our listeners just kind of a baseline. So coconut oil has an ozone index of 15, whereas hemp is the highest at 192. So a really huge jump in ozone potential.
Huge jump, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so going into teeth and gums, could you talk to us about that oil that you've made for the oral cavity and what oils you chose and why?
Absolutely. So we did this for a reason. So we chose ozonated olive oil because that's like our sweet right in the middle. It's strong. It also absorbs really well. And then we also mix it with ozonated hemp oil. And so we chose hemp because of, like I previously mentioned, how sticky it is and how it applies and stays on the skin. It almost acts like a water resistant layer. So what we found is the ozonated olive oil, you know, hits that part of the mouth and it absorbs and, you know, kills some of the pathogens, you know, below the skin. But the hemp oil will create like a layer and stay there. It's not going to stay there forever, but it's going to stay there longer than ozonated olive oil would stay. And so that allows us to treat an area for a longer period of time. And then we also include some flavor additives to, you know, to enhance the taste, to, you know, make it more palatable for individuals. So we did choose the oils for a reason. There's a reason why hemp oil is in it. It's not just because we felt like putting hemp oil in there because, you know, hemp is, you know, maybe hot right now, but hemp is actually provides a really necessity for adhering onto the gums and the teeth.
And what conditions might someone want to use this tooth and gum treatment?
So I want to kind of point out that something that I find really interesting. 80% of the population has some form of gum disease. So whether we think our mouths are healthy or not, there's a pretty good chance it's probably not as healthy as you think it is. And so I'm sure there's obviously some outliers out there, but when it comes to like gum disease, like receding gum lines, when it comes to tooth pain, just oral health in general, like, you know, we have to address some of this bad bacteria that's in the mouth that can be causing issues such as, you know, other issues. And I'm a big believer in oral health because I believe that our teeth are connected to meridian lines, to different organs in the body. And if we have like some other internal issues, such as like a colon issue, or even like a gut issue, check your teeth, because there could be a connection. Maybe you have a potential like low grade infection in your mouth that could be contributing to some of these other issues in the body. So, I feel like, you know, we really need to just do our best to maintain our oral health in general, because there is so much connection throughout the body that, you know, can dictate, you know, how we heal other parts of our organs.
Mm-hmm. I experienced, I absolutely love the tooth and gum treatment trays, you know, boil it, bite it, you know, and treat it. And then of course the oil pulling solution. And I actually, you know, my latest checkup, my periodontal pockets had reduced and they were clear of all, like a lot of the bad guys that we were trying to get out of there. And I just was so thrilled. And I mean, this is something where you can be referred to these, you know, these high level specialists, and it could be tens of thousands of dollars to be taking care of this. And it was just this consistent treatment with the ozone oils, with the tray, that was, you know, really, I think, saved my bacon on that one. So yeah, appreciated that.
I hear that from so many patients that I talk to, or so many people that I talk to on a, you know, whether it's monthly, or they all say the same thing. Like, I've been using this, and I went to the dentist, and they're like, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it because your teeth and gum are looking great. But yeah, we have like oil pulling is a great option as well, because oil has a tendency to push itself deeper into the pockets. And so it's going to get down there and, you know, hopefully, you know, take care of some of the issues. And one of the questions that does get brought up, and I do like to, you know, clear it up, is what about the good bacteria? So yes, ozone oils, you know, are typically going to go after the anaerobic bacteria first, which is considered the bad bacteria, but it can go after some of your good bacteria. But I do like to say that if you are having gum or teeth issues, there's a pretty good chance you're out of balance with your bad bacteria. So you have to do something. If we talk to, you know, I've talked to multiple ozone therapy practitioners all throughout the country, and they do say, they all are pretty consistent on the same thing. When you compare ozone, when it comes to the bacteria in the body, our good bacteria bounce back exponentially faster when we use ozone versus like when we compare it to like an antibiotic. So ozone has also been shown to balance the pH level in the mouth. And so when we're balancing the pH level in the mouth, guess what that does? It actually creates a better environment for your good bacteria to thrive. So just because ozone might kill some of your good bacteria, it sets your mouth up better for your good bacteria to repopulate and beat that bad bacteria out.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that about the pH, because that was one of my questions I wanted to ask you, is do you know what the pH of this tooth and gum oil was? Because we know that we don't want our teeth swimming in a pool of acid, you know, which lends to decay, right? So that was something that I wanted to ask you on the pH front.
So you really can't measure the pH of oil. So it's not really something that we're going to be able to measure. I don't really think there's like a way to even measure the oil of pH, but that does bring us some really good questions regarding like even the mouthwash that people use. The majority of mouthwash that people use has an acidity level below like 5.5. And we also know that, you know, our enamel and our dentin erode at 5.5 and 6.5. And so, you know, it blows my mind that people are using mouthwashes that are considered acidic, it's leading to, yeah, it might make their breath and their mouth feel fresh for the time being, but down the road, it's going to lead to potentially, you know, formulating an environment in the mouth that's going to be more conducive to bad bacteria growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the water that we're drinking is pretty acidic. I actually had measured my water that I got from, I won't mention the grocery store, but I checked the pH of my water and it was so acidic. It was like 5. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm just, I know. And I don't know if it's because they're, you know, stripping out all of everything. We'll just put it that way. It wasn't, it was not reverse osmosis, just FYI, but it was just so acidic. And I'm thinking, gosh, I'm rinsing my mouth out thinking I'm doing something good. But yeah, the mouthwashes are even worse because you've got the alcohol in there. And so, yeah, I mean, you're just chasing a problem, you know, and so that's why I do like the ozonated oils for pulling and also for rinsing the mouth, and then the dental trays that you have, which are way cheaper than going to a dentist. I wanted to ask on the ozone oil front for the dental care, do you recommend doing that nightly? And for how long? Is this something you can use every day? And is there a way in which this could be used too much and what that would look like?
So yeah, you can use it every day. I don't typically recommend that. I typically, you know, if you have an, if the individual is having, you know, some, you know, gum or teeth issues, do it for, you know, maybe like a week every day and see if you notice an improvements. And I know you will notice improvements with that. But I want to be clear, like, we want to get to the point where we don't have to do it every day. Like, we want to get to the point where maybe it's a maintenance thing. Maybe we're doing it every week or every 2 weeks. Like, you know, I have, you know, kids, you know, I'm super busy. I sometimes don't have time to do all these home treatments, you know, throughout the day. But if I had a major issue, I'd make the time. And so I want to be clear. Like, I want to make sure these products get people to the point where they don't have to do it as frequently, but you can do it during the day. We have also a lot of people who use these on their kids too. A lot of like people who use them on like their toddler's teeth, you know, kids in general. So see a lot of good results with that as well. So my big takeaway though is, you know, I'm all about, you know, doing things regularly, but I want to get to the point where I don't have to do it as much. But yes, you can do this daily if needed. Unless you develop irritation, then we do ask you to, you know, limit the use, you know, find that sweet spot where you're not, where potentially may not be irritating your gums, but that's pretty rare.
Mm-hmm. And because it does eradicate some of the good bacteria, I would imagine, you know, that indeed you wouldn't want to use this every day. It's like anything else. It's a supplement and in a time and a place. So and clearly ozone is just a powerful antimicrobial, as you mentioned, being that biological dentists have their finger on the pulse with this and prepping the tooth for, say, root canals or just simple cleanings. And so we know that ozone therapy is really coming up from under the earth of 100 years ago. This has been being used. It got suppressed for a while, and it's now starting to come back to life. I would say probably since COVID at the very least.
Yeah, it absolutely. I think I know a lot of podcasts that I've been on, they don't like me mentioning the word COVID, but because of like YouTube and places like that. But yes, COVID made there was a lot of negative things with COVID, but COVID really, I think it made people much more aware of ozone and the benefits, because even looking back, like in 2003, when SARS first came out, like there was a ton of research done after 2003 on how ozone interacts with coronaviruses, and the results were just amazing. And mm-hmm. so we had 15 years of about 15 years of data showing how effective ozone was, and it was a no-brainer. I mean, you know, there was so many, and that was kind of one of the reasons why people do nasal insufflations. So when you're out in public and you're, you know, going grocery shopping, and you know, they say that you could come in contact with something, well, a lot of these viruses replicate in the nasal passage first. And so when we shoot ozone gas up our sinus passages, we're essentially lowering the viral load or eradicating what was in there. And so your chances of actually getting sick drop dramatically. And so if we look at, you know, these types of viruses and how ozone reacts with it, all ozone does is it pulls an electron from the virus. And when you pull an electron from a virus, it deactivates it almost instantaneously. So ozone is negatively charged. And this is a big takeaway, I think, that even boils down to dental health. Ozone is negatively charged. Mm-hmm. A lot of these bad pathogens, such as bacteria and all viruses, carry a positive charge. So ozone's negative. These other guys are positive. Negatives and positives, what do? They attract, they're attracted to each other very rapidly. So when you put ozone in the presence of something, it's going to find its way to that positive charge and eradicate it. So I've talked to so many dentists who have actually injected ozone gas in the mouth, and they all, like the patients all say, like, it's almost like that ozone is finds its way and travels to that affected spot in the mouth. And they've found that, you know, it's pretty cool how it'll just essentially hunt and destroy and seek out what needs to be done. So same goes, you know, even when using ozone, you know, medically speaking, you know, whether we're shooting it up our nose or doing, you know, some form of treatment, it's negatively charged. It's going to find its way and attract itself to that problem issue.
Do you find that the ozone gas is more effective than, say, rinsing the mouth out with water or using the oils?
It depends. From a dental standpoint, I think ozone water is incredibly effective. It just depends on how you can get it there. So most dental offices, if they're going to use the gas, you know, you can apply ozone gas to the teeth. It can harden the enamel. You can apply ozone gas to an extraction site where maybe they're going to be putting an implant in or something else is going to happen. You know, they use it for root canals. Not that, you know, I'm sure you guys are not a huge fan of root canals. And then you can use it, you can push the gas up into the sulcus, you can treat it that way. I do think the gas is very, very powerful and it does a great job at sterilization. Water, you might find that water, if used correctly, can get to places a little bit better when it comes to dental use. And so I think it just depends on how you use it. The gas is great, really good, but the water is also really good as well. So, but also from a home standpoint, using ozone water is really, really good from a standpoint of oral health. It's really easy. I mean, you know, you can inject, I think when you start injecting the gas, like around a tooth, that's really, really effective. But the average individual at home isn't going to be filling up a syringe and injecting ozone gas around a tooth. That's very, very painful. And I would recommend, you know, some form of a numbing agent to, you know, that would be available in the dental office to make that happen.
Well, as far as the sinus insufflations, could you do, and I know that we have to be very careful. It's very important that our listeners understand you cannot inhale. You do not want to breathe in, as you mentioned, Tobias. You cannot get that into your lungs. It's an irritant. It's not a poison. Ozone is not a poison. It's an irritant.
Yeah.
And so you'll have a coughing fit. This happened to me one time. I will attest to it. I coughed up a lung, the proverbial lung. But could you actually put the ozone gas into the mouth and hold it and let it seep into the gum tissues that way? Is that an option?
Yes, it is. So I'm a huge fan. I actually, one of my favorite products does that. And I just want to be clear really quick about ozone gas in general. You're 100% correct. It's an irritant. It is not a toxin. Your body can tolerate breathing some ozone just fine. If you start to cough, that is typically the point where you need to stop breathing ozone. But I've done the same thing. I've inhaled ozone gas directly, coughed for a couple of hours, but I was fine. Mm-hmm. So the majority of the individuals, if they get a huge whiff of ozone, there's not going to be any negative side effects whatsoever. They're going to be fine. So back to the question regarding permeating the mouth with ozone gas. Yes, you can. We actually offer a product called an ozone mouthpiece or an ozone dental tray, and you can apply it in the mouth while you hold your breath. Or there's another technique that I teach people how to do where you breathe through your nose and have a fan blowing across your face. So the gas is essentially permeating the gums and the teeth, and it's exiting the mouth, but you're just blowing it away with the fan. You just have to know how to breathe through your nose during that process. And not everybody can do it. There's a trick that you can do. So you can take a shot glass of water and you put it in your mouth, and then you tilt your head back, and then you breathe through your nose. Most people can do that just fine. There are some people who are not able to breathe through their nose with water in their mouth. Those people are going to have to hold their breath while they use the mouthpiece. But I call when we do that type of treatment in the mouth, it's benefiting the teeth, it's benefiting the gums, but also I put it on the bottom tray, and what's happening is you are hitting the underneath side of your tongue. And what do we know about, what do we do with our underneath side of our tongue with other medications? We call it sublingual administration. So we're essentially also adding ozone gas sublingually underneath the tongue, and you'd be surprised, it gets absorbed very rapidly. It goes to the heart, it goes to the neck, it goes to your brain, and it's almost a form of, like, it feels really good. Like it wakes you up, and it's almost like doing like a rectal insufflation point. So I call that more of a mouth insufflation, but I want to be clear. You have to be very careful when you do that. It's not for, you know, just somebody randomly starting out. I do have videos on our site that teach people how to do it.
Mm-hmm. And just to back up so that people can be clear that when you were talking about the water, you had mentioned putting it in your water pick. That would be one way to get the water, the ozonated water around your teeth. Because mm-hmm. I know that we just didn't mention it here, but I think we did. We talked about it offline before. Is that what you would suggest?
That's very correct, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Ozone water, use it as a mouthwash, add it to your water pick. One thing that I don't think people realize with their water picks is, you're using this water pick daily and it's wet. And unless you're adding something to your water pick to reduce, like, you know, biofilm buildup or even like bacteria buildup, chances are there could be some bad bacteria in that water pick. So ozone water not only cleans your teeth and, you know, helps, you know, rejuvenate your gums and reduce some of the bacteria, but it's also keeping your water pick clean as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of dental offices use ozone water to clean their water lines because it's so effective at removing biofilms.
Nice.
I think we should also be thinking the same way when it comes to like using a water pick at home. You know, what is in that water pick? So I think there's so many different useful benefits at home when it comes to ozone gas and ozone water.
My dad was starting to get some sickness from his CPAP machine. And he started, I think that was his intro to ozone, was using that to clean his CPAP, and then he had no problems. And so I know that that's something that put it on his radar.
Ozone is more widely used than people realize. You know, if you have, you can get ozone laundry systems, you can have ozone in your hot tub, mm-hmm. ozone pool systems. They are using ozone for sterilizing surfaces. They use it in, you know, water treatment plants. If people who are a little leery about ozone, if you drink bottled water, every single bottled water is purified with ozone.
And isn't, so
it's pretty remarkable.
And isn't ozone actually more powerful at sterilizing and cleaning than chlorine?
Yes, it's substantially, it kills a lot faster, and it's about 3 to 4 times more powerful. So you can't get something better than ozone. And the beauty with ozone is oxygen, but it's 3 parts oxygen instead of 2 parts oxygen. So ozone has a half-life of about 20 minutes. So anytime you add ozone to anything, it's going to turn back into oxygen in about 20 minutes. So that's why they use it. That's why it's so safe to use, because it does its thing, and then it just turns back into the air we breathe, and then it's, you know, gone forever. And then you have to produce it again. So unlike all these other chemicals that have reactions that create other chemicals that cause other negative issues with the body, ozone is so simple. It literally just oxidizes, goes back to oxygen, and it's essentially, you know, gone forever. So that's the beauty. That's the beauty with ozone, in my opinion, is it's one of the safest sterilizing agents that you can use. You can ingest it into the body. You can put it into the blood. You can, you know, drink it, drink the water. You can't do that with other oxidizing agents because that will cause other issues down the road for you.
As far as half-life conversation goes, could you tell us how the oils hold up as far as shelf life? Do we need to refrigerate them? And how can you tell if if they've gone sour, so to speak?
Absolutely. So just to be clear, there's no active ozone gas in the oil. So what we've done is we've converted it to more of an ozonide. An ozonide is a much more stable form. It smells like ozone. It acts like ozone. There's no risk of breathing it because there's no active ozone gas that's being released. So what's happening with this oil is we've created this process, and it is technically slowly breaking down. Now, all oil in general will slowly break down. That's why, you know, when you buy a bottle of olive oil, they tell you to not put it in direct sunlight. They put it in dark containers. So oil, even if it's ozonate, it's going to have a slow breakdown. You can slow that breakdown by technically refrigerating it. The way I like to tell anybody who uses ozone products in general is, or ozone oil products in general is, if you're going to be using it regularly, there's absolutely no need to refrigerate the oil. If you're going to be using it infrequently, like every, you know, maybe like once a month, refrigerate it between uses because you're going to notice that it's going to stay potent longer. So I like to tell individuals if you buy a jar of ozonated oil or some type of ozone oil that you want to use, whether it's topically or internally, you don't have to refrigerate it for up to 6 months. If you know, after 6 months, you know, definitely refrigerate it. I personally recommend, you know, most people buying a jar of oil, they should probably have it used within 1 to 2 months anyways. But if you're not going to be using it within 1 to 2 months, refrigerate it periodically. It'll help maintain the life of that oil.
I really want to thank you for answering that question too, about the, that it's really safe to use the ozonated oil, like in, like my, for example, nasal passage. I have an Ayurvedic lifestyle. I do a lot of Ayurvedic recommendations and practices, and nasya is one of the practices of lubricating the nostrils with oil in order to actually enrich the, you know, just help to nurture the beds and to keep clear of pathogens.
Yeah.
And I had been hesitating, of course, something I would only experiment on myself first if I was going to recommend it. I'd been hesitating a little bit because of that, but now I know it's safe to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no issues. It's 100% safe. You know, you can eat this stuff if you want to. It doesn't taste the greatest, but you can eat this stuff. And, you know, you can use ozone suppositories, you know, rectally, you can use them vaginally. We have a lot of women who use them for like yeast infections. And, you know, people in general who use the ozone suppositories rectally, they do typically say it really helps with like IBS flare-ups and, you know, conditions, you know, whether they also have constipation or other issues like that. So, it's got a host of use. There's so many uses for ozone oils. We're always trying to innovate and come out with new ways to use it.
Mm-hmm. So you said you can eat this stuff, and that just kind of brought my mind to the encapsulated oils, which I've been excited. I've been recommending it to clients who have tested positive for showing symptoms of H. pylori, because there are now some studies that really helps. And that's super exciting.
Absolutely. That's what we see a lot of people taking it for H. pylori, even food poisoning issues as well. It's a really good use. You know, taking it internally. I also like when it comes to like small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, I think so many more people have that issue than they realize. I think it's becoming more chronic throughout the United States, at least in my opinion. People may have, you know, not a severe case, but you know, something that people need to be aware of. One of the great things with ozone oils in general is you don't have to just use them internally or, you know, ingest them obviously for the mouth, but you can use them for like hygiene applications as well. So ozone is a phenomenal deodorizer. And so we add ozone oils to deodorants, and they work really well for, you know, as a natural, all natural deodorant. So there's just a lot of different ways that we can use ozone oils in general.
So, okay. So talking skin, which is like, I make all my own skin stuff, and I'm a super enthusiast with beauty and all this stuff. So, okay. I use the ozonated olive oil on my skin after I sunbathe. And I have this really elaborate formula of oils that I've researched and I make, you know, for sunbathing itself. But I wondered, should I be adding the ozonated oil to this sunbathing, like during the sun formulation? And are there studies that show that there's some kind of a special mojo with sunlight exposure and the ozone? Now, I want to just say that here at Mindful Medicina, we're like super sun enthusiasts, and we don't think that the sun is out to kill you. We think the sun can actually aid you backwards, and it's amazing, and it's like pure natural medicine. But if you, but as far as all that goes, protection, enhancement, tell us what you got.
So yeah, I mean, we do carry a product called our Sun Repair Lotion, and you know, it's designed to put on your skin. Obviously, if you have a sunburn or if you've been in the sun a lot. It's a mixture of ozonated coconut oil and aloe vera. And so it really does soothe. I mean, we've had great testimonials from it when it comes to, like, you know, sun treatments. You know, I agree with you that, you know, I think people are too overly cautious of the sun. Everybody's putting all these sprays on their skin to protect themselves. You know, I'm not sure if I'm going to be in the sun all day. Yeah, I'll have to put something on because I'll get a burn. But I do agree with you that, you know, people are probably are too afraid of the sun when it comes to that kind of stuff. But yeah, ozone oils are great for helping with any type of burn on the skin. You know, I do feel like it helps reduce the aging as well. You know, you can use them. One of my favorite oils that I use on my face from time to time is ozonated jojoba oil, because jojoba oil mimics the skin. It's very similar to this, the oil that our skin produces, such as the sebum, and it absorbs really well. And it honestly, it has the most amazing scent, in my opinion. I actually love it, the way it smells. I think it's one of the most, it's so different when it, the way it smells, but like, there's nothing else like it. And I just, it almost just like, it's almost like freshness in a bottle. It's like the coolest thing in the world.
Now, I know this could be a whole other rabbit hole, but kind of like circling back to what I was asking too, there's just a lot of interesting biochemical reactions when we are in the sun. And there, some of the compounds in the oil mixture, which, you know, was way back, there was an episode when we first got started that I talked all about my formula and all the different, you know, biochemical interactions that they, that helps with. I wonder if in the sun, are there mechanisms where ozone is actually doing something in the background to help to use the spectrum of light to regenerate tissues? To I'm just curious if you know of any studies around the actual interaction with the sun exposure in real time.
I don't know of any studies, but one thing that I can say is if you look at, you know, how ozone is produced naturally in the environment, it is a combination of sunlight and hitting specific particles in the atmosphere that generate ozone. So like when we talk about like pollution, like let's just say, you know, everybody's like, oh, the ozone levels are elevated, which essentially means your pollution is off the charts. Well, that's Earth's natural way to deal with pollution. So sunlight hits these chemicals, it generates ozone naturally through the process of UV light. And it then neutralizes the pollutants. And so, and you know, that's, I think, why ozone gets a bad rap, because they associate pollution with ozone. Ozone is the constant. So it's the easiest form of measurement to tell how bad the pollution is. It's too hard to measure 100 different pollutants versus it's easier to measure one constant, such as the ozone level. So if our Earth didn't have ozone, we would all be dead. Ozone is designed, ozone cleans up the environment is what it does. It keeps everything in check, in my opinion. So we really do have to be careful, you know, about protecting this planet in regards to like our ozone layer. You know, even if you think about like, one thing I want to also, that just, I read an article on this not too long ago, like areas where the ozone layer is a lot more thin, the sunlight has a much more negative effect on our body. So where the ozone level is more healthy and intense, the UV light doesn't negatively affect our skin or our bodies as much. So there's a, there is something to what you're saying. Like ozone does play a role. I just need to, when it comes to like topically applying ozone oils on the skin, I don't have a solid answer for that, but I do know that sun and ozone play a big role.
Mm-hmm. And I think that electricity plays, or like we were saying, so you've got the sun and it's requiring some sort of electron or electricity to produce the ozone, right? And we can smell it on our skin, for example. The other time that we can see a cleanup or ozone production is during a thunderstorm, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And so that's actually cleaning the sky and cleaning the energy of the planet, frankly.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. There's this place, I think it's in Venezuela. I can't remember the name at all, to look it up, but it has the most lightning strikes from anywhere in the world. So it's like there's like a waterfall there, and then just the way like the mountains and the clouds set themselves up, it's like continuous lightning strikes, like nonstop. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it's, I don't know, there's a really cool fascination with me with lightning. And you know, you can smell it in the air. I mean, it mm-hmm. does, there is a cleaning factor to ozone. That's essentially what's happening, is when there's a lightning strike, it's energizing that oxygen, and that oxygen is then being turned into ozone. So what's essentially happening is, anytime you add electricity to oxygen or O2, it's splitting apart the O2 into a singlet oxygen molecule. And that singlet oxygen molecule is like, oh no, I need to find something to attach myself to. So what it does is it finds another O2 molecule and attaches itself to that. And so that's how you create O3. And yeah. So O3 is unstable. It lasts for about 20 minutes, where O2 is 100% stable. It's not going to break down pretty much ever. Mm. So lightning strikes are absolutely notorious for creating a lot of ozone. Mm-hmm.
So creating ozone at home, can we talk about your PromoLife ozone generators? Because we're going to need oxygen tank here. And can you go into the options there for people at home?
Absolutely. So ozone at home is pretty easy to get started with. So, you know, we do sell kits, you know, for home use. I'd be happy to provide some information on that. I can email it to you guys so you can share it with your group. But you have to have a generator. You have this device called an ozone generator. It's a little box, and inside the box there's a tube, and that tube allows gas to go, or oxygen to go in the tube, and then it basically high voltage electricity electrifies that oxygen, and it turns that oxygen into ozone. So we do this in a very controlled environment, and we do this in a way that where we are very precise on the concentration that needs to be produced, because we know that when we do ozone therapy at home, different concentrations are good for certain things, other concentrations are good for other things. And so we have everything calculated and perfectly down pat when it comes to how much ozone is actually being produced. So once that ozone's produced, you're going to feed it into a device for an insufflation, like a bag, like an enema bag, where you can add the gas to the body that way. You can then add the gas into a water bubbling system where you actually see the ozone gas infused in the water for drinking purposes. And then there's a few other methods for application. But to create that ozone, we need a pure oxygen source. So that pure oxygen source has to be, you know, at least 99% O2. There's a couple ways we can do that. Obviously, a medical oxygen tank is one way. If you have access to that, that's phenomenal. But for most individuals, I personally don't have access to a medical tank. Surprisingly, what works really well is a welding oxygen tank. It's the exact same stuff as medical gas. There's absolutely no difference. The main difference that if people want to, you know, claim there's a difference would be that the tanks are, if you go buy a welding oxygen tank, there's no chain of custody versus, you know, medical oxygen tank. So that's really the only difference. The oxygen that they add to welding tanks is USP grade, and it's the exact same stuff that's added to medical tanks. So, you know, you're going to get the right stuff. And so that's what the majority of ozone users use. For individuals who don't want to deal with that, we do have another option. We have these pre-filled oxygen tanks that are filled with 99% oxygen that we can ship to your door. It does cost more, but It's more of a convenience factor. If you don't want to deal with that, we can provide oxygen to your patients. And what I'll do is I can provide information on how all this oxygen stuff works as well. Like I have videos that can teach people how to do it.
Mm-hmm. We'll definitely send people to your website. Your website is sort of like a really nice collection of videos to watch. It's really user-friendly and, you know, just it's very supportive for people who are new to ozone in general. So I applaud you guys and your team. I don't know, is your team size 17, if I remember correctly, unless you've grown from there? But yeah, the support is incredible with you guys.
Yeah, we're about, I think we're a little over 20 right now. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of work involved in like creating videos and editing them and, you know, really making sure that things are portrayed properly. It boils down to like one of my philosophies when it comes to getting people into ozone therapy is it's not just about selling somebody some equipment. It's also making sure that they have the ability to use it properly. So we have three modes of education that we provide. We have videos, is mode one. We have a booklet that we send out that teaches people how to hook everything up and use it. That's two. And then the last way we train people is through personalized video consultations. So they can set up a video consultation with us and we can teach them. And this is all included. Like we're not charging anything extra for this stuff. This is all included with your purchase. But my philosophy is people who buy ozone equipment who don't know how to use it, they're not going to talk highly of it. Nor are they going to experience the benefits. If we can get people to use the equipment properly, they are so much more likely to have to notice a benefit, and then they're so much more likely to spread the word in a positive manner. So, to me, the most important factor is get people into ozone, have them have a positive experience, so they can tell everybody else.
Yeah. And do you have any new and upcoming interests? You're such an innovator. It's incredible, creative and really service oriented. And what's interesting is your degree is in business. And I just find you to be such a creative healer. And so I was just wondering what you were diving into these days. Anything new on the docket for you and any new creations heading our way?
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing that I've been focusing on a lot is ozone water. We just launched a product not too long ago. We actually called our Easy O3 because it's an easy way to make ozone water. And so we really set that up for patients to use at home for oral health. I'm more so focused on patient compliance right now. Well, so like what that means is trying to find really easy ways for customers to use products because I found that, you know, they're way more likely to use it. I'm working on another system for travel. Like my goal is for people to use ozone while they travel, and I have ways for them to get oxygen locally while they travel. That's pretty easy. So I have some things in the works when it comes to additional forms of ozone treatment. Also, the ozone oils are amazing. We're constantly coming out with some new and cool stuff. I've got some other projects that we're working on pretty soon. You know, you'd be surprised how well ozone oils work for a host of conditions. I think we're coming out with we find that it works really good as like a personal lubricant for individuals. So
that's interesting.
We have a formula coming out for that as well.
I know that we just paused.
Yeah, just like, I want to say this. Maybe this seems like a little bit off topic, but I just wanted to just give a shout out to a product that Jason recommended that I use, which is the insect repellent. And so I just went straight home after our interview and I ordered it. And I want to tell you, I put it to the highest test that it could be put to. I was out at a yoga festival in the middle of nowhere on a farm, kind of in the woods in North Idaho. And I mean, we were swarmed. I didn't get one bite. Now,
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm kind of one of those people, though, that is mid-range, like where mosquitoes are kind of interested in me. I had a few other people slathering themselves in it, and they got a couple bites, but they're the kind of people that are just usually just chewed up no matter what. So yeah. they noticed the improvement as well. And I just what I noticed, too, is that even the little no-see-ums, I would see them land on me, but then they just really wouldn't bite. They would be disinterested and they'd leave. You know, like, so there are certain types of essential oil mixtures that all these natural products kind of put in. It doesn't quite get the full spectrum, but I felt like it was probably the highest spectrum of all the characters that the ozonated insect repellent got. So I thought I would just ask you about that. I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, this was a really fun project that we worked on. We actually sent like 100 samples all over the country last year for testing and, you know, just to validate our formulation. And this is how I believe it works. So the essential oils obviously are nice. They're a nice added scent, but ozone, you know, hence why we also use it in deodorant, it masks odors. Okay. So I personally feel that the ozone oil masks the odor of the individual and or mask something where the bugs aren't seeing them as likely or likely to see the individual. So ozone, you know, like where essential oils cover things, I think it does a great job of like tricking or covering things up. I think the ozone oil does a better job masking it and eliminating, you know, what the bugs are wanting. And so, I mean, there's some bugs that, you know, I find like we have these bugs in Arkansas, we call them, they're like a different type of no-see-um. They're really, really bad. It definitely works with those, but man, those things are like they're vicious though. These things, like they're going to get on you regardless. But, we found that for mosquitoes and a lot of these no-see-ums, it works incredibly well. And yeah, it was a really fun project that we just know, like we know ozone oils work so well for that kind of stuff. And that's kind of my whole point with ozone oils in general is they have so many cool uses that people are unaware of, like bug repellent, toe fungal stuff, deodorants, you know, even bug bite relief, you know, personal lubricants. You know, there are so many different factors with ozone oils that people are unaware of that they can experience the benefits in their own home.
Mm. Okay. So the one we didn't talk about, there was a suppository that I don't know if you've worked on it or if you've got it for sale yet, but the methylene blue suppositories. What's your take on that? And, medically speaking, I know I prescribe it as a doctor, but I'm having to be careful with serotonin syndrome, because methylene blue can work as a MAOI drug, monoamine oxidase inhibitor. So antidepressant medication. Yeah. So yeah, I just, on occasion, there's a serotonin syndrome if someone's not transparent about whatever medications they're taking. What's your thought on the methylene blue suppositories here?
So, I'm a huge fan of methylene blue. I think it works really, really well. You're 100% right about like the serotonin. You know, obviously people need to be aware of that before taking, you know, methylene blue, but the delivery, it's all about the delivery mechanism via suppository. So, you know, I'm actually in the process of working. I'm trying to work with the company. I'm surprised how difficult it is. But I'm trying to make capsules. And I'm running into some FDA issues right now with making capsules, whether they want to fill them or not for me. But that's a project that I'm hopefully going to have figured out within the next, you know, 3 to 4 months. But it boils down to the delivery mechanism. When you add methylene blue rectally, it absorbs throughout the system much more effectively. So we look at the bioavailability of the colon versus like taking something orally, and it's about 4 to 5 times better. You know, if you take the suppository, you're going to feel it hit a little bit faster. And, you know, the suppositories aren't terribly strong. I mean, it's not a very, very potent amount, but it definitely, you're going to feel it hit, and it works incredibly well. One thing that we also noticed is it doesn't turn your, excuse me for this, but people who have taken methylene blue are totally aware of this. It doesn't turn your urine the same color that you would typically find when you take methylene blue orally. So it bypasses the stomach and it doesn't actually change your urine color at all. So I find that very, very interesting.
Yeah, that is.
Question. I actually am excited because I have the methylene blue suppositories in my freezer at home. I haven't tried them yet. I wanted to wait till this question was answered. And now I have another new question. Can I do a double? Can I do my hemp oil ozonated suppository and my methylene blue at the same time? Is that going to be all right?
I would space them out. Okay. Now, I know Jason has, they have a protocol where they do, I think the methylene blue, I can't remember if it's like right with the ozone or if it's like right before or right after, but I don't think you have to wait very long in my opinion. I just, the only thing that worries me is if you did the suppositories at the same time, there'd be, I'm not sure what type of reaction would take place or if there would be some type of neutralization that occurred.
Right.
So, you know, we obviously want the stuff to be potent and to, you know, perform properly. So there's a few unknowns, obviously, as far as like taking certain things at the same time. So,
okay.
I don't know. I really, it's a hard one for me to answer, honestly.
Well, I'm going to do an experiment on myself and I'm just going to do ozone one night, methylene blue the next night. I'm just going to toggle them and I'm going to finish up the packages and then I'll report back.
That would be phenomenal. And I think that's really how we intend for people to use it. Like, I mean, one of the guys that I work with, does a lot of the sales for us. He's a big believer in methylene blue. He goes down to Bolivia occasionally, and he's going back in December, and they always tend to go to, like, I think it's Lake Titicaca area, which is like, I can't remember. I think it's like 13 or 14,000 feet in elevation. And he always takes his methylene blue with him then. Mm. And he notices that he's the only one that doesn't have altitude sickness when he takes it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think it's pretty cool. So there's a lot of crazy uses for it. And I know, obviously, you know, when you subject yourself to the UV light, you know, when you're taking methylene blue, it acts as an antimicrobial in the body as well. So, I think there's some cool uses to it.
Yeah. Now I just thought of this kind of, I put myself in the place of some of our listeners. Okay. They're like, okay, they're talking about this methylene blue. Can you just, in a nutshell, just tell us why do people use this stuff?
People use it for, I mean, just really a simple, simple way. You probably know a little bit more about it than me, but I think it allows your hemoglobin to attach more oxygen. So, you know, from an athletic standpoint, it works great for that. From a standpoint of just, you know, feeling, I think it helps with like, you know, it adds more, you can generate more energy throughout the body. It's just a really simple thing that people can take. You can also take it for, like I said, if you subject yourself to UV light, like go out in the sun, it'll act as like an antimicrobial. So if you are sick, you know, you might have some infection going on, maybe a wise thing to take. I know it was originally approved as a medication for through the FDA, actually, for what is it called? I think it was urinary tract infections, I believe. So that's what it was originally intended for. Mm-hmm. Medically speaking, I mean, it's pretty safe. And medically speaking, you know, there's a lot of really cool uses for it.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty ubiquitous in its uses. And like you said, it is antimicrobial. I mean, the biggest thing about it is that increased uptake in oxygen. So we find that it can be really helpful for patients with dementia or Alzheimer's. And just adding to what you were saying on the synergy between light and this prescription, we'll call it prescription because that's how I'm using it. But the red light is very powerful for this. So I have patients I've actually given, I had a patient with Alzheimer's, we were doing a methylene blue IV therapy, and I'd have him bring in his red light therapy. And so, yeah, the synergy of light is always going to have a major impact on conversion and uptake of vitamins as well. So the synergy of the sun with these things are just amazing. It was also used to color blue jeans and clean fish tanks.
Yep.
But you know, it's also really just something that I think is, again, repressed, like, and ivermectin, you know, these very, very, very first FDA approved drugs that get pushed into the cabinet or, you know, under the table because no one's making money off of these things, and yet they're so powerful. And that's what we always want to make sure to drive home through this podcast, is that medicine, some of the best medicine is cheap and or free. And if they're charging you an arm and a leg for it, you know, that this is exactly why they suppress these therapies and the ozone therapy, for example. And it's, and I've heard this in some other podcasts that there's a war out on ozone, for example, and supply chain issues. And I think even in Canada, didn't they close down the ozone producers out there? Is that really true? What's going on?
Yeah, there's definitely some issues in some other countries. I think the United States is relatively safe because of the way our states' rights are set up. It just makes things more difficult to happen. But that could obviously change at any time. We just don't know. Mm-hmm. From a supply chain standpoint, all of our stuff is made in the United States. So we've been able to avoid a lot of that supply chain issues. I would say one of the more difficult things would be obtaining oxygen. There were some challenges like during COVID where it was harder to get oxygen tanks. That has improved quite a bit. One thing that I've noticed, this is a really weird occurrence, but companies that would, you know, United States companies that are producing oxygen concentrators, like those boxes that people use for like home health, if they have like emphysema or something like that, a lot of these USA companies have stopped making those for some reason. And I cannot wrap my head around why. It's either everything's being outsourced overseas, like India or China. And that also worries me in general, because that essentially sets us up for, you know, if something else ever happened again, are we gonna be able to get stuff? Like, yeah, it puts too much control in other countries based upon what the United States needs. And I'm a believer that I'm fine with like some things have to be made globally, obviously, but I still am a huge believer that we need to have a lot of our manufacturing, you know, capabilities here. I mean, it just helps us, you know, if we ever had like a good example is like pharmaceutical drugs. The majority of drugs are made overseas. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day about pea protein, and, you know, like all these companies that buy pea protein and they put it into their, you know, formulas. Guess where that every single ounce of pea protein comes from? China nowadays. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I was kind of blown away by the fact that so much pharmaceutical medication, so much food comes from overseas, and we're just not producing it anymore. We have the ability to, mm-hmm. but we're just not doing it.
There's also the added issue of deuterium in all of these medications and even the nutraceutical world. Speaking of deuterium, I had a quick question, which might be a little bit off topic, but since I have you here today, and this is another thing that's hot right now, is hydrogen, right? Hydrogen gas, yeah. And, you know, all of that. And my question, because I think that you guys are also selling a way to get some hydrogen water, perhaps. I'm wondering how one manages deuterium content or levels.
So I'm not as versed on the deuterium side, but I am more versed on the, like we call it, molecular hydrogen side. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what we typically, there's really two ways you can deal with hydrogen on the molecular. And let me just kind of talk about why people would want hydrogen in the first place. So hydrogen is obviously a very powerful antioxidant. It's anti-inflammatory. And I think the best description that I've ever heard on how hydrogen works is it's the first element on the periodic table. It is essentially the building block for everything. So you have to have hydrogen for things to work. Without hydrogen, everything kind of falls apart. So when our bodies intake molecular hydrogen, what it's doing is it's generating homeostasis in our body. So it allows our medications to work more effectively. It allows our food that we eat to work more effectively. It allows our exercise to work better. It allows our ozone therapy to work better. And so hydrogen is like this thing that we add that essentially just makes everything else work more effectively, in my opinion. So we can infuse hydrogen into water and then drink it. That's one way to do it. We can also, and just people are aware, our bodies produce roughly 1 to 2 liters of hydrogen a day through our gut. And so that's why it's important to eat leafy vegetables. Now, there is some, you know, we talked about, what's that bacteria or that H. pylori, H. pylori, that can have some hydrogen and H. pylori don't necessarily mesh well together, but that's besides the point. Something that people need to be aware of.
Okay.
But hydrogen really helps the body prime itself so it can have a better function with ozone therapy. And so, you know, we can make hydrogen rich water to drink. That's one way to do it. You have like little devices that produce it. The other thing that we recommend is we have these devices called a Brown's gas machine, and they produce 66% hydrogen and 33% oxygen. And they're amazing when it comes to, you can literally just, you know, breathe the hydrogen for 4 hours straight. So like if I'm working, sometimes I'll hook myself up to the machine and I'll just breathe hydrogen. We have some people who use it, they hook it up to their CPAP machines at night and they just breathe hydrogen for 8 hours all night. You know, they find that, you know, it helps reduce pain. It helps if people sleep better. It's known to help with heart issues. There's a host of issues that hydrogen can provide benefit for. So in my opinion, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And if we can get, if we can figure out a way to actually have the hydrogen isotope be deuterium depleted, right? Protium. So we want hydrogen in the form of protium, not deuterium. So I haven't myself yet found a hydrogen supplement that is protium. Uh-huh. The isotope protium, because we know that deuterium, when you get too much of that hydrogen isotope into the mitochondria, you get mitochondrial diseases. Let's say the worst case scenario, you've got, you know, cancer, right? So we know that most diseases start at that mitochondrial level. So I want mitochondria to have protium, not deuterium. So if we, that's your assignment. You're going to make that for me.
No pressure. Just to be clear, like the deuterium, like it's referred to as like heavy hydrogen. Essentially, isn't that the stuff that's like, it's like heavy water. It's like you can't, it's like non-potable water. Essentially they have like, is that correct?
Yeah. It's considered 150 parts per million. It's basically what's coming out of your faucet. It's what, for example, seed oils are actually, seed oils can be up to 200 parts per million, but yeah. So we're looking at, yes, what one would call heavy water. So it's double the size that deuterium is, double the size, double the weight of protium. And so my concern with hydrogen supplements is that hydrogen is not protium, is deuterium.
I need to look into that more. That's something that I need to dive deeper into, because I've talked to a lot of individuals about deuterium water and then other forms of, like, you know, like we talk about like microclustering water. That's one thing that I've heard regarding like the hydrogen water devices. They do microcluster, they make the water more hydratable. Mm-hmm. So I have to do a little bit, I don't want to quote that I know what I'm talking about, but I need to do more research on that topic, obviously.
Yeah, no. And I'm glad that you're just dropping it like it is. It's like, I need to look at this a little bit more, but you're just the guy to do it. And I think that's next level. And I think that's the thing that's missing with this hydrogen supplementation. I think this needs to be tackled, and you're just such an innovator that I thought I would really,
I have people that I can lean on this that are like, I tend to, like, I'll do my own research, but I have a lot of experts in different fields that I know who I value and trust, you know, immensely with, you know, their opinion. And so that's one thing that I have access to. I have access to a lot of different resources to find information. So, and I know I can definitely, I'm going to dive into this and get some answers for you on this one.
Awesome.
Sweet.
And so just as we're going to get ready to close up here, I just want to ask if there's anything that you wanted to mention on the front of oral health or any of your products that we might have missed or overlooked.
Well, you know, I would like to tell everybody, you know, your mouth is the only one that you, like, your teeth, you're not getting more teeth, okay?
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately not. So we have to keep those teeth healthy and we have to keep them there. I mean, you know, there's energy pathways with our teeth to the rest of the body. And there's a reason why we want to keep our teeth. I know people get implants, you know, it's a whole other conversation, but, you know, and that's sometimes it's unavoidable, but if we can really, you know, keep our teeth and our mouth healthy, I do feel very confident that that's going to result into an overall better health of your full body. And I look at the mouth as like a gateway. So like we can see like what's going on. Like if our mouth is just falling apart, something else in our body is going on. So if your mouth is doing really, really well, you know, maybe you're doing okay. But I think it's a really good starting point for individuals to like see at home what's going on, and they can start by treating the mouth and they can hopefully see some additional impacts elsewhere throughout their body. You know, I think people, the way they respond best is they want to see results quickly, but they also want to be able to see what's going on. And that's where that's one reason why I really like to start with oral health, because it's a visual thing that people can, you know, understand and see very, very quickly if there's going to be benefits.
And it's the closest. So
that's what I like to add.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'm glad you brought it back to that, because the oral cavity is the closest we get to looking inside of our bodies. Mm. And yes, that's just profound to me. You know, it's almost acid trippy. But I believe that disease can really start in the mouth. And think about how many times we swallow a day. I sometimes knowing too much isn't good too, because like I'll wake up at 4 a.m. and I'm like, first thing I do is I swallow. I'm like, damn it, I just swallowed a bunch of bacteria. I should go scrape my tongue.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's all this research out there that shows don't use mouthwash at night because you need that bacteria to produce the nitric oxide. And so, like there's all this crazy information coming out about like how to keep our mouths even more healthy. And it's like very counterintuitive, like don't actually use mouthwash. I'm like, what?
Right.
And so, and that's one of the reasons why ozone is so amazing for oral health, is it creates more of a pH balanced mouth. That's going to allow your good bacteria to thrive a lot more. And so, a lot of dentists are adding ozone to their practice, all around the country. You know, if you are listening and your dentist is not offering ozone, start that conversation with them. You know, see if they know about it, why they haven't considered it. There are some great organizations that allow for education. There's the IAOMT, and then there's also the IABDM. These are all biological dental associations that have a strong emphasis on ozone. And there's a lot of training, a lot of coaching on how to get set up with ozone. And you know, I would love every single person listening to this to talk to their dentist about adding ozone to their practice. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to provide so much. One of the big takeaways that I hear from all the dentists that I talk to is anytime they add ozone to their practice, the number one thing that they notice right off the bat is less antibiotic use with their patients.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Which is really, big. Really huge, because you're dropping an A-bomb in that gut every time you take an antibiotic. And I'll be honest, you know, some people say, well, I've only had 3 rounds of antibiotics in my life. And I tell them, look, it takes 1 round of antibiotic to mess you up forever.
That's right.
You know, it really is kind of the chemotherapy to the gut.
Yeah.
So any way that we can avoid antibiotics is just crucial. Mm-hmm. Crucial.
More of a yeah, 100%. And that's what ozone allows a lot of people to do is, and I'm not going to, I don't want to come out and say, oh, you're never going to have to use antibiotics. I'm not going to be that type of individual, but people who are pretty consistent with ozone, you're going to reduce that use. Okay. It's all about reducing. There's a lot of veterinarians that I see that use ozone instead of antibiotics for their pets. It's a really, really powerful tool here's a good example. So I like to share the story. I get a lot of crap from people for this that I know, but I don't really care. So we had a tornado roll through here about 2 months ago in Northwest Arkansas. And, it was the widest tornado we've ever had in Arkansas, and it did a lot of damage. So I was helping some neighbors clear up some debris, and I ended up stepping on a rusted nail, and it went pretty deep into my foot. And so the first reaction from the people that I'm helping is, oh my goodness, you need to go to the hospital and get a tetanus shot. And so, that was like the first reaction that everybody kept telling me. And so what I did was I went right home. I got out my ozone, I filled up a syringe with ozone gas, and I put that needle into the wound as deep as I possibly could put it. And I just pushed ozone gas into that opening for a good, I think I did like two or three rounds of syringes. And lo and behold, it stopped the bleeding. And I basically was back to normal within a few days.
Amazing.
And obviously no need for a tetanus shot, because, you know, even if there was that bacteria in there, that ozone would have eradicated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what's interesting is no one's ever died from tetanus anyways, but
that's a whole other conspiracy. I always find it funny. Like, even before the vaccine, there was only 500 cases of tetanus a year. And, it typically just affects like babies and elderly people. Like, it's kind of a joke in my opinion.
So. Yeah. There's lots of things to say about, that tetanus shot and all the other shots, but, that's going to be a different conversation for a different day.
And it will come.
Definitely.
And that day will come. You just wait. Season two, it's on. I wanted to, have you tell our listeners how they can reach you, your social media platforms and maybe your website.
Absolutely. So for ozone oils, we recommend everybody go to www.PUR03.com. So PUR03 like ozone, the number 3.com. And that'll take you to all of our ozone oil products. It's a ton of cool stuff there. If anybody is interested in ozone therapy products, our website is www.promolife.com. So PROMOLIFE.com. And that's a great resource for ozone therapy products. I'll send you guys like some other links that you can share with your group that will provide some additional ways for people to learn about this kind of stuff. So, And then if anybody wants to, I always like to share my email address. So if anybody wants to email me directly, my email address is Tobias, T-O-B-I-A-S at promolife.com. And you guys can send me emails and ask me questions, and I'll do my best to respond to them in a timely manner.
And Tobias was generous to give our listeners a discount code if you wanted to purchase any of the products on either of those websites. So that is Mindful. Yep. Mindful in all caps, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Awesome. 10% off, everybody. And we'll put that in the show notes so you don't have to memorize everything here. But Tobias, thank you so much. What you are doing is just powerful for people, because like I said in the beginning in my intro, it's that we've outsourced our wellness, you know, and we've become so clinical in our thinking as far as how to heal. And we love that you are creating products that allows people to take their power back and bring it into their home. So this is absolutely what I love about your products, is they're easy to use, they're affordable, and like you said, you can use them when you need them. And so, yes, it's beautiful medicine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tobias.
Well, I really appreciate it. And honestly, you know, we can, you know, groups like you, having these podcasts, that's what we need more of. We need more people like you talking about the benefits of this. Like, you guys are the ones that are spreading the word and getting this out there and, you know, giving people the platform like myself to help educate individuals. And honestly, you guys are the start of this and, you know, making this all possible. So I really appreciate everything that you're doing.
Aww. Yeah. And a big shout out to your parents too, because I know that they dug their feet into the earth and really started your own journey, you know, off with this information. So the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So
100%
they say,
correct. You're very correct on that.
Yeah. Lovely. Mm-hmm. Amazing family business.
So, okay, well, good. We'll have you back on to talk about some other things because you are just such a great innovator. We could go on and on. Thank you, Tobias, so much. And we'll see you for round All two.
Right. All right.
Thank you so much. Okay. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
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 I hope this conversation has empowered you. Remember, you are unique and you are a miracle. Your body doesn't make mistakes. It responds perfectly to an imperfect environment. Until next time, go get that life.